valley one by one, with our faces toward the setting of the sun. Down the valley where the mournful cypress grows, where the stream of death in silence onward flows. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going toward the setting of the sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going down the valley one by one. We are going down the valley one by one, when the labors of the weary day are done. All life's sorrows and cares forever past, we shall stand upon the river brink at last. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going down the setting of the sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going down the valley one by one. We are going down the valley one by one. Not an earthly friend beside us there will come, but a tender hand will guide us lest we fall. Christ is going down the valley with us all. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going toward the setting of the sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going down the valley one by one. We are going down the valley one by one. Yet before the shadow veil we come the dawn, when with rapture we shall gather in the sky, change forever and nevermore to die. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going toward the setting of the sun. We are going down the valley, going down the valley, going down the valley one by one. Yes, we're going down the valley one by one.
Out pretty early tomorrow, so I'm going to try to be as brief as I can tonight. Say, preacher, you should be brief more often. Amen. I'm going to try to do that. Amen. A mission's emphasis. And take your Bibles, if you would, and stand with me. We're going over to Acts chapter number 18. Acts is one of my favorite New Testament books. Acts chapter number 18. And once you find your place there, if you would, stand with me, please. Acts chapter number 18. And I'm going to be talking on the subject, the missionary fear. The missionary fear. By the way, what are some fears that we have that can really stop us from witnessing at times? What's the fear that we have? Joshua? Get bit by a dog or shot, amen. I guess that's a fear, amen. Missionary fear. One of the greatest fears out. What do you think one of the greatest fears is for missionary? Of course, we know not having money is a fear, of course, but that's not from the people that you're going to be witnessing to. What's one of the greatest fears that we have when it comes to witnessing to someone? Brother?
Rejection.
The missionary's fear is rejection. Everybody wants to be received. If my job as a missionary is to give out the gospel, then I want people to receive my witness. I don't want them to reject that. And so I want to look at the missionary fear today or tonight, rejection, and see how Paul overcame that It's going to be the same way that you and I can overcome it. And what we need to do as well as we're praying for our missionaries and witnessing ourselves. And at chapter 18 of the book of Action, let's pick it up. Let's see here. Well, we'll just read verses 1 through 6. There we go. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And pick it up with me and read together from verse 6 down to verse number 8. And when they opposed themselves, okay, y'all join with me here. Here we go. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean from henceforth. I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man. Y'all keep reading with me. Amen. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. And so we see Paul here coming to Athens, from Athens and coming to Corinth here and seeing some folks get saved here. But there are some people that are opposing and blaspheming. And Paul's ability to witness seems like it may be in jeopardy. Amen. But as he begins to do that, verse number 9, notice what happens. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. The missionary's fear is rejection. It's rejection. And one of the things that the missionary has to get over is the fear of rejection. Whether it's the people, whether it's the language, whether it's how he says things, but he has got to get past rejection. By the way, so do we. Amen. We don't like being rejected either. But for the missionary, that's what he's out there for. And sometimes he can get a little distraught. So I want us to see tonight a little bit of what Paul got to continue going on in spite of rejection. Amen. Father, help us tonight to see what we need to carry on with in spite of rejection. The same thing that Paul got in spite of rejection. And Lord, I do pray that you might speak to our hearts and help us to continue being a soul winning church. A soul-conscious church, a church that has compassion, a church that sees that people need to be saved and missionaries still need to be sent. Speak to our hearts tonight. Speak through me, Lord, Holy Spirit. Stir our hearts in a way that only you can and help us to hear, Lord, what you would have us to hear. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Now may your hand guide, direct, and lead in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. The missionary fear is rejection. I don't know about you, but there's different fears out there you can have. Some people can be afraid of cats. Some can be afraid of dogs. Some can be afraid of snakes. Amen. How many of y'all afraid of snakes? Amen. You can be afraid of spiders. How many afraid of spiders? You can have odd fears. I'm afraid of roaches. I'm definitely afraid of roaches. They don't bite, but I'm afraid of them. My wife can tell you. I don't like them at all. My wife can tell you a story of the time when I about pulled my chest out trying to get a roach off of me. And I mean, I almost drew blood trying to get that roach off me. I don't like roaches. I despise them. And I grew up around them. And that could be why I don't like them. Amen. And they weren't in my house, but they were in a lot of houses that I visited. Amen. And so I'm afraid of roaches. Other people are afraid of the dark. Amen. Some people are afraid to be alone. You know, some folks are afraid to go into places they've never been. Amen. Some folks are afraid to try new foods. Amen. Some folks, believe it or not, Sam, are afraid of green smoothies. I've got one right here. He's afraid of green smoothies. Amen. And so there's so many different fears out there. But when it comes to the gospel, you know, it's we can fear being rejected. You know, and the truth about it is that we know they're not rejecting us, but we take it personally, don't we? We take it personally. We think that they're actually rejecting us when it's just the message that we have that they don't like. By the way, most folks don't like God. They just don't like when you say that Jesus is the only way. As long as there's a God out there who's, you know, just watching over everybody, he's a grandfather, he's not interfering in their business, he's okay. But the minute you say Jesus Christ is the only way, G2, they got a problem with that. They got a big problem with that. Amen. So Paul finds himself leaving Athens, coming to Corinth. He's yoked up with Aquila, and he's down there with Priscilla. They're doing the same job. They're tent makers, and so that's the job they're doing. Paul goes in on in verse number 4 and reasons in the synagogue. Amen. And again, I mentioned this morning. I'll mention it again. Why does he go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day? That's where the Jews are at. Amen. And if I'm going to reach anybody, I'm going to try to reach my people first. What did he say? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to who? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul's thinking is this: if I can get my countrymen saved, if I can get some people just like me saved, I've got some people on my side, then they can go back and keep reaching the countrymen whilst I reach the Gentiles. And so he always tried to get into the synagogue and get an audience with them so that he can give them the gospel. According to verse number 5, Silas and Timothy come from Athens. They join up with Paul, and Paul is pressed in his spirit to really give a good, hard witness to the Jews that Jesus was indeed their Christ, their Messiah. And so with that said, he must have really got with it. Notice how it reads. It says, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. So he didn't hold back. Amen. You know, there's times when you can witness and there's times when you can witness. I mean, you can get busy. You can get down and I mean, you get full of the Spirit. I mean, you get going. Amen. And so evidently Paul was there. But notice what happens when he did that in verse 6. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. From henceforth, I will go to the Gentiles. He said, I was trying to give you guys a chance here, but you know what? Since you don't want this chance, since you're rejecting the gospel, I'm reasoning with you in this synagogue. I'm trying to tell you who Jesus Christ really is. You don't want this. Amen. I'm going to go somewhere else. By the way, 1 Corinthians 2:2, this is what Paul said to the Corinthians. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said, that's all you need to know. I'm not here to give you fancy words of wisdom. By the way, people like fancy words of wisdom. But you know what? Fancy words of wisdom is not going to save them. Last time I checked, the Bible says the gospel is going to save them. So why waste time with fancy words of wisdom when the gospel is what you need? Amen, Joshua? Amen. All right. And so conviction set in on them and they opposed and blasphemed. They talked bad about themselves. But when you look at 2 Timothy, notice what it says in 2 Timothy 2:25. I'll read it for you. He says, this is how you're going to reach people. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Now, what did it say in verse number 6 right there? And when they oppose who? Themselves and blaspheme. 2 Timothy 2:25 says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so while they're opposing themselves and blaspheming, Paul said, you know what? I've got to just be meek. I've got to give the understanding there and make sure that God will give them the repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And so after those things took place, Paul said, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. Henceforth, I'm going to the Gentiles. By the way, when someone rejects your witness, keep going. Keep going. Say, preacher, why do I keep going? Because you might find the next person's not going to reject your witness. And they might even get saved. And they may be the next Charles Spurgeon or the next D.L. Moody or the next big time preacher. Or just they may be the next Paul Chappell. You never know. And so when someone rejects your witness, keep going. God has someone else waiting. Someone probably came to you. I just wonder. Rod Branch came and talked to my wife and I wonder, honey, if somebody maybe turned him down right before he came to me and you. You never know. But you know what? He didn't give up. He kept going. Now, he could have given up and said, you know what? They didn't receive my witness. I'm giving up, which means my wife wouldn't have been witness to, which means I probably wouldn't have been witness to, which means Brianna wouldn't even be saved now. Amen. Because she got saved because somebody sent me out to plant this church. Amen, Pastor. See how God works? Amen. And so it amazes me how when we get rejected, we want to stop. Don't stop. Whatever you do, don't stop. Keep going. Does it feel good to be rejected? No, it doesn't feel good. But Paul's going to get some things here that makes it feel a little bit better. Notice, first of all, the mission's pronouncement. The mission's pronouncements that needed to take place in spite of fear. Notice verse number 7. He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined heart to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, did what? Believed on the Lord. So guess what? If Paul had given up, maybe, just maybe, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, may not have believed that Paul would have given up and said, you're blaspheming and you're opposing yourself. I'm through. I'm out of here. I'm leaving town. But he didn't. And as a result, he walked right into Crispus, and Crispus gets saved. I wonder if Rod Branch got put down like that, honey. And he walked right into me and you who were open to the gospel, and we got saved. Now, it took me 3 months to get saved, amen, but we got saved nonetheless. And by the way, I don't know if you've experienced this before. I was one of those that had 1,000 questions, and that's why it took me 3 months. And I met with him almost every Wednesday, and he would answer my questions. So I had my own Bible study with him. Basically. And so Paul gets a missions pronouncement that needed to take place in spite of fear. Say, preacher, what is that? Notice they said, believe in the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. If Paul had have given up, Christmas wouldn't have gotten saved. And many Corinthians wouldn't have gotten saved. But he kept going. What is that missions pronouncement that needed to take place in spite of fear? Verse number 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by vision. Be not afraid. Amen. God said, don't be afraid. Hey, you and I need to hear that. Don't be afraid. Hey, when it comes to witnessing to your relatives, don't be afraid. When it comes to witnessing to your classmates, don't be afraid. When it comes to witnessing to your members on your basketball team, don't be afraid. When it comes to witnessing to people that we know, don't be afraid. I'll tell you one thing. Lilia, when she worked at the commissary, Lilia wasn't afraid. She'd tell everybody and to come through the commissary, you need to get Shining Light Baptist Church. Lilia had more people come through him. She worked at the commissary than just about anybody else in this church. How'd you hear about the church? I met Lilia at the commissary. How'd you about? I met Lilia at the commissary. How'd you hear about the church? Met Lilia at the commissary. Why? Be not afraid. There was a missions pronouncement that needed to take place in spite of fear. Jesus said, be not afraid. But do what? But speak. And what? And hold not thy peace. Although the role wouldn't be easy, God told Paul, don't be afraid, be comforted, and be commanding. He said, look, I want you to be comforted, and I want you to be commanding. Go give out the gospel. Don't be afraid. G2, don't be afraid. Amen. Mariah, don't be afraid. Amen. Mariah said, I ain't afraid. Amen. I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell them. Amen. Don't be afraid. Hey, he says down there, he's in good company because God told others the same thing. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 12:2. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Proverbs 29:25 tells us why. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Amen. Hey, if we begin to fear man, you know you won't do what you should do. Amen. Who should we fear? God. Fear God. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. We don't have to fear either because we have the same promise that was given to Paul and that he gave to Timothy. Amen. By the way, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, this is what Timothy was told by Paul. For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. We must not be afraid either. We cannot be afraid to speak for God. So this missionary, this mission's pronouncement that he was given in spite of his fear. But not only that, there is the missionary's promise that was in place in spite of his fear. This is how he could do it. Notice verse number 10. For I am with thee. Now, couldn't you imagine? Jita, come here for a second, Joshua. He says, I am with thee. So just imagine Joshua being Paul. And I'm God. I am with thee. So wherever Joshua goes, I'm with him. So if he goes over here, tell him God loves him.
Yeah, God
loves
you.
Amen. Come over here. Tell Jesse God loves him.
God loves you.
Amen. What did he say? I'm with thee. He said, Paul, wherever you go, I'm with you. I'm right there. So Paul had the consciousness in his mind that God was always there. Pretty good to have dad with you, huh? Side by side. Witness to people and tell you what to say to them. Amen. And so Paul had the conscious awareness that although Athens kind of kicked me out and didn't receive me, although these guys over here blaspheme me in the synagogue, there's some people that got saved and I could really leave town. But guess what? God says, I'm with you. I'm with you.
Amen.
And folks, that's the same promise we have. What do you say? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So the missionaries, thank you, Joshua, the missionaries, when they go out there, have that confidence, that consciousness. I am with thee. Notice this. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. Come back up here a second, Joshua. No one's going to hurt him. Come back. Come up here, G. So no one's going to set on you to hurt you. I'm with you. Nobody's going to hurt you. So whatever G2 tries to do, come at him. Get on back. Come at him again. Get on back. Get on back. I'm with you. Nobody's going to set on thee. No way, Jose. All right. Yeah, get on back there. By the way, the devil is slick like that, too. The devil will try anything he can. But what could Paul rest on? Paul could rest on the missionary's promise that was in place in spite of his fear. The Lord said, I'm with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. He said, you know what? I'm not going to let anybody hurt you, Paul. The missionary's fear is rejection, but he's got this pronouncement that needed to take place in spite of fear. He said, go and speak. Don't worry about it. Then he's got the promise that was in place in spite of fear. He said, I'm with you. He says, no man's going to set on thee to hurt thee. God, why would you give your man such a promise? God said, because I got much people in this place. I got much people. There's a lot of people, Paul, that you still have to reach. By the way, the testimony was given to the church at Corinth that they came behind in no gift. They had all the spiritual gifts that they could have. Seemed like they were affluent. They had everything. They came behind in no gift, the Bible says. And so God gave Paul this promise. He said, you know what? I'm going to be with you. The missionaries promised that was in this place in spite of fear. He says, you know what? No one's going to set on thee to hurt thee. God gave Paul the promise that he would be with him as he spoke to the Corinthians. Similar promises were given to others like Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now, when you read something like that, you can only imagine that the Jews must have been some serious lookers. Because he says, don't be afraid of their faces. Maybe they looked at him like this. Jeremiah, we're going to get you. Not you, Jeremiah, but Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah, we're going to get you. You just wait till you stop that prophesying stuff. We're going to get you, Jeremiah. Jeremiah, people ever say that to you on the basketball court? We're going to get you. Stop that preaching. Amen. You just wait till you're away from those friends of yours. We're going to get you. But Jeremiah 1:8, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee. Notice he didn't say, don't be afraid of the knuckles. I'd be more afraid of the knuckles than anything. I'd be more afraid of the rocks they're going to throw at me. I'd be more afraid of the sticks they're going to beat me with. But God said, don't be afraid of their faces. You know, people can give you some serious looks at times. And those looks can make you fear. And those looks can make you not say what you planned on saying just because of how they look. The guy that led me to the Lord, he looks mean as mean can come. He wears a constant scowl on his face. Just always like this. I said, Brother Dunn, why don't you take that scowl off your face? And then he'll change his face and he'll smile. But he just has that look. And he says down there, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 1:19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. Jeremiah 15:20. And I will make thee unto this people a fence brazen wall. Amen. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why? For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. By the way, Jeremiah had a rocky prophecy. I mean, a prophet's time, very unproductive by man's standards. The people didn't get right with God. He got thrown in a dungeon. He had some bad things happen. But guess what? God was still with him. Isaiah 55 and verse 11 says this, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Paul's job was to go out there and to preach in spite of fear. But Paul could go out there as a missionary with that promise. He could go out there with the pronouncement that God said, in spite of your fear, hold not your peace. You need to speak. We have the New Testament promise of Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We have the promise of Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The promise was given that no one would hurt Paul in Corinth. And by the way, he was able to get the job done.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
So we see the missionary's pronouncement that needed to take place in spite of fear. He said, speak and hold not your peace. The missionary's promise that was in place in spite of fear. He said, I'm with thee. No one's going to set on thee to hurt thee. But then fourthly, the people that were in this place in spite of fear, the master's people that were in this place. He said, I have much people in this city. By the way, you know, in every city of every place in the world, God has people that he wants to save. You think about as wicked as the place was when they were trying to cross the Jordan River there, and the first place that they were going to conquer, when Joshua was going over across there, that lady and her family all got saved. What was her name? Rahab. Rahab and her, God still had somebody that got saved. As wicked as Sodom and Gomorrah was, you still had Lot in there. And you still had Lot's wife and Lot's children. God always has some people in the city that he was trying to get to. And by the way, even with Lot went to his sons-in-laws and tried to witness to them. Why? There were some people in the city that God was trying to reach. But guess what? They mocked him. And they rejected him. But guess what? Lot came out. The master's people that were in the place in spite of fear, he said, I have much people in this city. And although these people were not yet saved, God in his omniscience knew that he had much people that would be saved in Corinth, and there would be a great church in there. And so the encouragement was given to Paul that night to stay with it, to stick it out. Don't leave. It's not going to be like it was in Athens. The same encouragement is given to us today for not just Tucson, but for missionaries around the world. John 3:16 still stands, for God so loved the world. Why? People need to be saved. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son to the world that we might live through him. At our schools, at our jobs, at our sports events, at our leisure, as we go, as we live, the missionaries face the same rejective fear that you and I face. No one wants to be shunned when it comes to the gospel. But you know what? I can go when I go with the promise that was given. I'm with thee. No one's going to set on thee to hurt thee. I've got much people. By the way, we will never know how many people that God's willing to save if we don't go. We will never know how many people that can be saved around the world if we don't give to missions. We will never know. But if we go, we can know a portion. If we give, we can know a portion. We can know a fraction. Somebody invested in this church, Bethel Baptist Church, to get this church planted. As a result, we got Brianna back there, got saved as a young 15-year-old. Brother Duffy got saved as a 37-year-old. Amen. How old were you, brother, when you got saved?
51.
As a 51-year-old, amen. Still young, amen. What am I saying? Hey, people are still getting saved. I know one of Brother Wilkerson's boys got saved at a young age just several months ago. Young Zachary Bain just got saved several months ago. What am I saying? We will never know if we don't go and if we don't give. Our cities steeped in idolatry and immorality, and so are the countries and the cities where our missionaries are at right now. And they need the glorious gospel light, but they need to get past the fear of rejection. 2 Corinthians 4:3 says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so Paul had the encouragement that he needed to stay. Our missionaries have the encouragement to stay just like Paul. They have the same Bible that we have, and they get the same rejection that we face here. They get the same rejection that other missionaries face. But lastly, notice the missionaries' progress in the place. Notice verse number 11. After God said, I have much people in this city, the Bible says, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So a year and a half, he stayed there. As a result, we find Paul writing to the church at Corinth in the book of Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Why? A great work was started there. But if Paul had been driven out of the city and he would have listened to the blasphemers and those that opposed themselves in verse number 6, if he would have run straight out and said, you know what, this place is just like Athens, I'm out of here, there would not have been a great church there. If our missionaries do the same thing that are on the field right now, they get over to Africa, they get over to China, they get over to these areas and say, you know what, I'm not going to do this, I'm just going to go back home, then it's all a waste. But I'm so glad that they have the same words that Paul had. They had the missionaries' promise, speak and hold not thy peace. They had the missionaries' promise that they could do this in spite of fear. I am with thee, and no one's going to set on thee to harm thee. And they have the same type of master's people there, much people in the city. We'll never know how many people could be saved worldwide. You never know. I don't think any of us will ever know how many people could have been saved if we'd have given more to missions, maybe. If we'd have prayed a little bit more, maybe. If we would have went a little further. If we would have went back to that person that rejected us the first time. We'll really never know. But think about it. There are some people that we still are going to. There are some people that have rejected us that we are going back to. There are some people that have shut their doors that we're talking to again. There are some people that the missionaries are going back to again. There are some missionaries that are sticking with the stuff. They're not coming off the field. You know, and it's a tragedy. You got someone like a Dr. Don Sisk is up there in his age, still burdened about missions. And there are more coming off the field than are going to the field. Folks, and this may sound crazy to you, but when I first started this work 16 years ago, I used to get so many calls weekly from missionaries going to the field. I may get one or two calls every 2 to 3 weeks now. That's sad. Sometimes I'll go 3 or 4 weeks and I won't hear from a missionary at all. When missionaries used to flood my phone, they used to flood my emails. What's going on? I believe that fear of rejection has come through the churches. By the way, where do missionaries come from? The churches. And because of the fear that's spread through the churches, the missionaries don't want to surrender anymore. I can go and work at this place or work at that place and just be a witness, and I don't have to go to the missions field. A lot of folks just don't want to go to the missions field. But this encouragement is still here. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And Paul continued there a year and 6 months more, probably than he would have had he not gotten that encouragement from the Lord. Hey, our missionaries need encouragement. They don't just need our finances. They need our prayers. They need to hear from us on those cards that we sign. They need to hear from us. You say, preacher, isn't it enough that you email them and you correspond with them? But they have wives. They have children. And their children would love to hear from your children on a card or something like that. Their wives would like to hear from your wives, maybe saying, how does it feel to be a mom out on the missions field? What am I saying? God said, I've got much people in this city. What should we do? We've been prompted by the Lord Jesus Christ to give to missions. This is our missions emphasis day. Many are still rejecting our missionaries on the missions field. Many are still rejecting what they are doing on the missions field. And some of our missionaries, I guarantee you, are ready to give up and quit. Our job is to step up our prayers for our missionaries. Our job is not to stop giving, but to continue giving and increase if you can. Our job is to do whatever we can to help our missionaries to feel the love of God and the love of this church out there. It matters not what another church does, but what is this church doing? And we've got to make sure that our missionaries that are out there that are getting rejected like Paul, that they don't get weary, that they don't give up. Jesus told Paul, I have much people in this city. Don't you believe that every missionary feels the same way? There's much people in their city too. But you know what? There's much people in our city too. We can't give up. We've got to keep going. You say, preacher, but I get tired and no one is getting saved and on and on. Leave that business to God. Do we get tired? Yes, we get tired. Yes, we do. Do we need breaks? Yes, we do. Jesus and his disciples, he said, come ye apart and rest a while. And so praise God for the summers when we can get away. Brother Fred's going away next week. Amen. The White's left to go and visit his aunt and uncle. Then they're going to the conference. I mean, praise God that we can get away. And we get away and we get refreshed and we get rejuvenated. But guess what? We're still witnesses out there. And we're still giving out the gospel out there. We're still smiling to people and witnessing to people out there. And we come back and we still just jump right in and say, Lord, I want to never miss a beat. I want to continue giving out the gospel. Why? Paul could have given up. But Paul said, you know what? Although they oppose themselves, although they're blaspheming, I'm still going to go here because my Lord said, I'm with thee. He said, speak. He said, hold not thy peace. He said, they're not going to set on thee to hurt thee. I've got much people. So Paul said, I'm good for another year and a half right here. Hey, folks, we got another half a year to go. Another half a year to go. And I do pray that we'll continue to give. We'll continue to pray. We'll continue to go. Maybe you stop giving. Start back up again. Even if it's just a dollar, guess what? Every little bit helps. By the way, a dollar can buy a lot of tracks. Did you know that?
Yes, sir, it can.
I mean, it can buy a lot of tracks. They're not that expensive. And missionaries need tracks. What do you think we use all the time? Tracks. What do we give to people? Tracks. And so don't stop giving. Amen. Don't stop going. Father, thank you so much that we can have a day that we call Missions Emphasis Day. We can hone in on what we've done over the past 6 months and look forward to what we're going to do for the next 6 months. God, I pray that we would understand there's much people in this city of Tucson, just like there's much people in every city represented by our missionaries. And Lord, I pray that our missionaries would feel and hear the words that were given to Paul, speak and hold not thy peace. They would not be afraid of the rejection that comes. They would not be fearful of what's going to come down the road. God, I pray that whatever it is that you set on our hearts to do, we would do it. Paul continued a year and 6 months. Lord, we're looking at just seeing what we can do the next 6 months here at Shining Light Baptist Church by way of missions. Maybe some need to increase in what they give. Or maybe some need to just continue giving what they're already giving. Maybe some have stopped giving, need to start giving again. Lord, maybe some have never given. They need to start giving. Lord, we know that it's Bible. We know that it's the heartbeat of God. And Lord, I pray that you would bless now. And we would see exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ can do with surrendered hearts. We see what happened to Paul. Now, Lord, may it happen with and through us. Thank you for loving us. Bless this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. Let's all stand to our feet, maybe just for a few minutes. Maybe you need to pray about your involvement in missions. None of us knows what the future may hold. Maybe you need to pray for the next 6 months. Lord, keep me faithful over the next 6 months in giving the missions. Lord, keep me faithful in praying for missions over the next 6 months. Lord, touch my heart. Maybe I need to increase over the next 6 months. Lord, maybe I stopped giving. I need to start giving again. Or maybe, Lord, I need to increase my giving. Or maybe, Lord, I'm surrendered. Here am I, send me. Less people are going to the missions field than ever before. More are coming off the missions field than ever before. Maybe you would be like Paul and, Lord, here am I, use me. Lord, I'm surrendered. Paul told Jesus, what wilt thou have me to do? What would thou have me to do? Would you ask that tonight? Lord, what would you have me to do? Maybe it's increase. Maybe it's pray more. Maybe it's witness more. Maybe it's to get past the fear of rejection. May I share this with you, rejection will be there to the day that we get called home. Rejection is always, somebody's going to always reject us for some reason. If it's not the gospel, it'll be for something else. Lord, what will thou have me to do? What will thou have me to do? If he's calling you, don't shy away. If he's calling you, surrender. Oh, preacher, I don't know where I'm going to go. But the first step is surrender. The going goes later. The surrendering comes first. Lord, what will thou have me to do? Let God speak to your heart. Trust you've been praying about what to give. Father, thank you once again for Paul's example, the missionary fear, rejection. Thank you so much that the missionary's pronouncement took place in spite of fear. He was told to go and speak, hold not his peace. Thank you, Lord, that the missionary's promise was in place in spite of fear. You told him, I'm with thee. No man's going to set on thee. Thank you, Lord, that the master's people were in that place in spite of fear. And Paul, with the much people there, stayed a year and a half. God, oh God, keep our missionaries on the field. The missionary's progress was there. He continued. And God, help our missionaries, despite rejection, despite discouragement, despite lack of numbers, despite any of those things, feel your loving hand of mercy upon them. Lord, I pray that the gift as well as the giver here at Shining Light would feel the same thing. You said, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Thank you for that encouragement that Paul was able to give to the Philippian church by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, may we too, in an unforeseen 6 months, continue to be faithful, giving as unto thee. Thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for our missionaries. Thank you for what they do in spite of rejection, in spite of fear. Now use these next moments, Lord, as we continue in our faith promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to get these handed out again. Maybe God spoke to your heart again, and maybe you need to do an increase in your faith.